You know, this is an interesting job you have going out and recruiting. You have a tendency to categorize military groups. And so my girl that I've been with for almost 20 years, Air Force captain when she left.
All right.
Forced in Germany. She's literally at the sink. She does not know you guys are coming in that I'm doing a guest shot with you. Huh. And one of the recruiting ads come on, and she says, well, yeah, you got to have Marines because you need somebody who will do anything you tell them to do. But, you know, you need smart people, too, and that's where we come in. And I'm like, honey. But there's this rivalry, isn't there? There always is, isn't there?
I think it's in good spirit.
Well, I do too.
We all love each other in the end. So.
Yeah. Well, I said, what about the Army? Well, you need somebody who'll do anything. It's interesting because I can pick a Marine up and they'll have something to say too as well. We just need you for a ride to drop us off is usually the one that I hear. But, you know, I was recruited by the Air Force very strongly. I wish I'd gone.
And I wish you would have too.
And there's one of that's one of the reasons why
we have broadcast journalists in the Air Force.
And that's exactly what they said. They said, "We'll send you to Greece. You'll love it."
No, that would have been awesome.
Yeah,
you should have done it.
And I was a fool because one of the first things, as I got older, I found the education that was provided with free by the state. I probably didn't take the best advantage of it. I wasn't a slacker much, but still, I found as life went on, I wanted to go back to school. I wanted to learn more. I wanted to be more. And that's one of the things that I think Air Force offers young people, providing they're in that mindset.
Definitely,
Terry?
Definitely. We have a lot of educational opportunities. Air Force is the only branch that has a fully accredited community college. So just by coming in the Air Force, you're earning college credit for whatever job you go into. For instance, for recruiting, I have an associate's degree in human resources, and some of my other career fields like
medicine, anything like that?
No, sir. I was an air transportation manager before this, and I have an associate's degree in that as well. And that's all from the Air Force. And then we get like $4,500 a year while you're serving to take any college classes you want in your free time. And then
My dad returned from the Vietnam War. That's what he did. He went the GI Bill, baby. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was a big deal. It was still a novelty of sorts when I was a very young man. Now we kind of take it for granted. But when I see a piece of paper that says that you offer $80,000 in education funds.
Right. That's in addition to that tuition assistance that I just talked about. So when it's all said and done, after you get finished with your enlistment, because you're probably not going to use your GI Bill when you're in, right? That's about $80,000 plus a housing stipend now with the post 9/11 GI Bill. So it's improved since even when your dad was in Vietnam.
Right. I mean, a lot.
Yes,
from the looks of it. Now, here's the thing, Frank. This relationship, you're in Carbondale, you're in Cape, there's colleges nearby.
Absolutely.
Is that part of the reason why they're there? I mean, that on-ramp, off-ramp of college graduates, is that a recruiting pool or?
It can be at times, absolutely. We're stationed just kind of by virtue of the way that the recruiting map has been set up for years.
Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, college grads are people that we're looking for. Obviously, that would they can apply to be an officer. They can also enlist as well.
But see, for me, it was they were coming right out of high school. They wanted they come and say, "Come on, let's go."
That's how I joined. You know, I made that decision in my senior year.
And How long have you been?
I've been in almost 20 years right now, so it has flown.
He's getting
by.
Ready to retire.
See, that's what I'm thinking. I'd be retired now.
I'm like, this is
I'd be retired. I'd already been retired. I'd been retired literally 9 years ago.
And I knew in high school, I'm like, I kind of wanted. I wanted to do the college thing, but I also wanted to get out of the house, kind of see the world a little bit, and I really didn't know what I was getting into. I thought I'm going to do the minimal those 4 years, and I'm going to get out.
Right.
And every year that goes past, I'm like, this ain't so bad. You know, you mentioned Germany earlier.
Yes.
That was my first base. So I'm an 18-year-old guy. I'm driving a BMW M3 Bavarian Racing Edition.
Autobahn. Tell me you're on the Autobahn.
Right?
Okay. Good.
Right. I get to go snowboarding in the Swiss Alps on the weekends, and I'm calling back home to the guys and saying, hey, what are you doing? And community college delivering pizza, and they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, hey, last week I went to the Louvre, I saw Mona Lisa, and they're like, you can do all that? And I'm like, absolutely. You know, and it, funny thing, on the base over there, I started college. Guess where I went to school?
Yeah.
University of Maryland.
No kidding.
That was my first college, right on base.
In Germany.
Yeah. In Germany, yeah.
They have their out campus.
They do.
SIU has some of those programs as well.
Yep.
Because this is the thing, Tara, in particular, in your relationship to Carbondale, is SIU, even when things got tight on funding military, SIU has stood by its veterans. They really have. As a matter of fact, I think they won a couple of awards for it as well, for their programs where they help, you know, with the ROTC program, which I've heard about since day one, you know, living in Southern Illinois. These opportunities are out there. You know, here's the really selfish, terrible thing of the Air Force that I find attractive, really, right? Who else has a space program?
Yeah. Other than NASA, but we work pretty closely with, NASA anyway, right?
All right. The Marines, definitely. You know, you guys have a space program. I mean, when you look at the technical aspect, is this a misconception on my part that the Air Force really is, out of all the branches, the most technical? I mean, is it inherent because of flight, maybe?
Well, I think we have a lot of STEM, for sure. The different career fields pretty much all have a little bit of a STEM in it, which is the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
Right.
We all have that. Even in my last career field, I was talking to Sergeant McMahon this morning about just trying to find the center of balance of cargo that we would put on the aircraft.
I was the guy who couldn't stand math in high school. Yeah. And you know, I'm like, why do I need to know the size of the shadow?
All I can tell you is, I know because that, you know that was how we measured the pyramid's height the first
time, right?
The very same program used to figure out the height with the shadow at noon or something.
Was that Pythagorean?
Yeah, you got to do that. Yeah. All right, that's how we figured out how tall the pyramid was. Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, though, when I had an application of it in my job, and they're like, "Hey, Sergeant McMahon, go out here. I need you to find the mean aerodynamic chord of this aircraft. You're in charge of loading it.
You got to have a load master."
Whoa, this makes sense now.
On a flight not long ago, they were ready to take off, and they said, whoa, we forgot the weight in the front. And turn around and ran back. I'm going, thank you guys for doing math.
Right.
You kind of need that.
Yeah. But see, have you noticed every time we seem to talk, the common denominator seems to be about education and about growing and about what we've learned?
Exactly.
And I think a bunch of young people, and I think maybe even myself at some point, thought, you know, joining the military, joining the armed forces in the United States is about killing people. And I get that. Media, movies have had a lot to do about that. But to understand that there's this system that's going on and caring for the people and growing, creating technical abilities, defending the country, it's not about going out and shooting people. And I wonder, the young people are most prone for entering military service, whether that component stops a lot of people from seeing the advantages.
Right. And I would also point out, too, we do a lot of humanitarian missions in the Air Force, too. Like, those big cargo planes aren't just taking Army and Marine equipment or even NASA's equipment.
Right.
We're also taking food and water to like tsunami victims in other countries and people in our own country. Hurricane Sandy, when I was stationed on the West Coast, we were basically sending a lot of the electrical power line trucks across country to New Jersey and helping those folks out too. So we do a lot of
humanitarian. At one point, we even sent an aircraft carrier to use its water distillation for one of these natural disasters. Right. A lot of different elements come into it. So if you sat down with a young senior, is there a difference between recruiting men and women to the armed forces? Is there a different, for you, there an intimidation factor or anything like that?
I think the females relate to me, obviously, because I'm in. So I think that helps sometimes being a female, recruiting other females. But I feel like women are excited to serve too. So,
there was one member of my family who says, "Oh, you don't want to join the Air Force because it's too hard to get rank, because those guys stay around a long time in the Army. We're getting out all the time. You can grow rank. Air Force, you'll never get any rank. You're not smart enough." Thanks for the voice of confidence, Dad. He's an Army guy. He didn't want me to see to go to the Air Force. But I think, you know, when it comes to this, seeing the educational opportunity, I can't tell you whether it's a Navy or Marine guy that I've known in my life. I love Marines, but I got one friend of mine, you know, was on the Enterprise, went around the world, and he's never stopped talking about it. And it happened 45 years ago.
Yeah.
That impact you have on life, it's not all just about conflict.
No.
And very often I find the people that get together, there's a camaraderie that cannot be equaled in anything else. Some people have a tendency to call them foxhole buddies. I think that may be an oversimplification, but you get it, don't you?
Yeah, sure do.
I mean,
it makes the world a lot smaller in some ways, because you'll talk to somebody and then they're like, "Hey, did you know so-and-so when you were stationed And you're like, oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah. You remember that place, the bar? Yeah, I remember that.
And that would be place. Somewhere on the other side of the planet, and, right. and you knew them. And you still know them.
And I see that, you know, with tattoo. You got tattoo from my unit. Next thing you know, they're off in the corner having the time of their lives. There's mm-hmm. a camaraderie there. So why did you join, Tara? Why did you, by the way, we're speaking with Sergeant Tara Welch. Why did you join, and did you accomplish what you hope for yourself personally, or are you still in that process?
I would say for myself, I actually went to college because I think everybody in my household and everybody I knew, I didn't have a lot of people that in my family that served in my immediate family. So I didn't really know that much about it. And everybody said, college, 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 go to college. So that's what I did. And then I got there. I grew up in a really small town in Tennessee.
Right.
Kind of like here, right? Except for there wasn't any colleges in my town.
Yeah.
And when I got there, it was overwhelming, honestly. I was actually pretty overwhelmed with just the size and it was so different. And I guess when I got there, I ended up, you know, kind of spinning my wheels because I didn't really know what direction I wanted to go. I thought I knew what I wanted to study when I got there, and then I didn't realize there were so many different opportunities and different subject matters.
World opened up to you, didn't it?
It sure did.
Yeah.
And then I realized I was just kind of not sure what I wanted to do, and I went and talked to a recruiter, and this seemed like a good fit.
What did you tell them what you wanted to do when you signed up?
I was pretty open because I really didn't know, you know, what opportunities they had for sure, because back then it wasn't a ton of internet to be right. able to research everything.
Right.
So I think I was pretty open, and I started out in command post was the original job that I had, and I was pretty much kind of stayed in it after that. I've cross trained a few times, and
yeah, it's interesting. You know, I mentioned, you know, because my girlfriend last name's Kirk, so Captain Kirk. For, you know, a Star Trek fan, mm-hmm. pretty good. Just
that's
a little awkward
awesome.
At moments. She speaks very, it's interesting, out of all the years she was in, to gain the rank of captain, the rank is never the thing that she seems to brag most about. After the years that we've been together, she always mentions how rewarding it was to be on a C-130 with injured U.S. forces while she was responsible for caring for them while she was flying them back home.
Right.
That was the thing that always stuck, the thing that she seems to be incredibly proud of. And I don't ask her. You can see it resurface time and time again. You see a person's expression. She helped her fellow soldiers get home and cared for them during that trip back on a C-130. I don't know that she did anything else after all those years in, but that thing I know about because that's the thing she goes at that she's so proud of, she kind of stands on. And see, here's the interesting thing. You come from small town middle America just like I do. I love Tennessee, by the way. I lived in Jackson for a while. I'm trying to wait out a non-compete agreement here in Southern Illinois. I had to leave the state and work. I met all those wonderful people. But finding out that there's opportunity, and then when the moment comes in your life where you find out it's not about you.
Yes.
That's the other big one. When that happens for you, and I can tell by your expression, you know exactly what I'm talking about, Tara.
Definitely being part of a team and basically serving your country and I think being a piece of that puzzle that makes the mission come together. Because that's what I tell, you know, when I go to the high schools and I talk to the kids, is a Air Force Base is like a small town. It's not just one job. A lot of people think just pilots, right? Because everybody thinks Air Force, everybody's a pilot. Well, realistically, less than 4% of the Air Force actually flies an airplane. So an Air Force Base is like a small town. You literally have every job on an Air Force Base that you have here in town.
Right.
You've got plumbers, you've got electricians, you've got civil engineers, you've got air traffic controllers, you've got paralegals, medical people. You know, we could go on and on and on. And
right.
then you get your secret squirrel stuff, like your intel specialist, geospatial analyst, your people that are driving satellites around. So a lot of really cool opportunities.
Forgot drones.
And yeah, that's
well.
Too, yeah.
I mean, gosh, you know, you're sitting in a what looks like a shipping container in Florida controlling a drone in Afghanistan.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And that's you guys,
yep.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of technologically interesting things for me.
This magazine I brought in here to show
with
you.
With a Blackhawk in the front, no less.
Oh, it's a SR-71.
No,
they don't use that anymore, but it has a lot of stuff in here with the drones about the Global Hawk. And they're huge, right? They have jet engines on them now.
Yeah.
But I guess the point about all the different jobs, they come together to make the mission happen.
Right.
You have to have all those people doing different parts of the jobs to make the mission happen. So when you're talking about teamwork, I mean, that's what it's all about.
And support.
Yes, sir.
Right. So, Frank, I mean, your time that you've been, you know, 20 years, you're very close to retirement. Uh-huh. You're the kind of guy who'd be able to look back and tell somebody that's thinking about going on.
Right.
Because here's the thing. You know, I was doing a letter-writing campaign during the first Iraq War and started doing some looking at numbers of people in, like, Elkville, right? There were, like, half the town or a third of the town had people in Iraq. You see small town America,
a
little town, and they line up, right? Because they want that opportunity. It was presented to me, look, you're 6'4". You're not going to be able to work in low coal in the coal mine Sling County. You're going to have to go to the Army. You have to go to the Air Force. You're going to be a Marine. You don't have work here. And that opportunity presented itself, Frank, 20 years now. I mean, when you look back, and you would tell somebody, look, I'm thinking about going in, but I'm only going to stay, you know, minimum time. What would you have them know, Frank?
You know, I was that guy. You know, I was pretty certain at first it was 4 years and that was it. And within that first year, I figured it out. I was like, wow, this is really good. So I've had two of my brothers that have joined and since gotten out, both very successful guys. So I know without a shadow of a doubt that if a person just does the minimum of 4 years, it's kind of like a firm foundation for the rest of their life to be successful at whatever it is that they do, because I know we're gonna make you a better student. I know you're gonna have intangible skills that can't be learned with inside of a classroom, just life experiences and you know in general. So I look back on 20 years. I am so thankful for the places that I've been. I've got to see the entire world. I've been in some conflict, and really been at the front lines and seen a lot of interesting things. And I can look at my two brothers. You know, one's an FBI agent right now. The Air Force
was from Mount Force. It was his staging.
That was the catalyst to get him in. Then my other brother is super successful working. You know, he's going into Wall Street every day and doing really well for himself.
Yeah, it's interesting. But, my brother, I think if you take a look at why he joined the Army, he wanted to be a canine Illinois State Police officer when he got out.
Right.
I mean, that was he knew what he was going to come out the other side, and this was his goal. And he was going to get this training there. Right. So there's those advantages.
Subject here, Sergeant Walsh doesn't like talking about herself so much, but she's about the most interesting Air Force person I've ever met. She's
really?
Been in the reserve. She's been in the guard, and obviously she's now active duty. And I don't know at what point within your career she had got out and was actually a trainer for the, that was the Department of Defense canine program, right?
Yeah. Well, yes. You were in the canine.
Yes. Yeah. I was working at the DOD working dog program, mainly with the puppies, basically starting them out because you got to kind of get them going to wherever.
You got to teach them how to sit on the platform and stay where they're supposed to stay.
That too.
We all start.
Sniff the drugs and the bombs.
Yeah. Teaching them to start searching and that kind of stuff.
Love
and
that.
Then starting.
Got a friend of mine does that, Gary Klein here in Southern Illinois. Great guy. Probably listening right now with his dogs, matter of fact.
Good morning.
Hey, really privileged to meet you both. And
hey,
thank you for your service, both of you. And best of luck. You know, we talked about some of the opportunities and programs, the Air Force, and there's so many other opportunities out there, too. And it's an interesting and sometimes dangerous world where you can help make it a little safer, and the Air Force is one of the ways it happens. Sergeant Tara Welch is joining us. Real pleasure to meet you, and also Master Sergeant Frank McMahon. Frank, good to meet you, too,
pleasure
pal.
Too. Thank you.
It's 8:43.
Thank you.
Y'all have a good day.
You, too.